I said a while ago to the question-answer session, I made mention of some things that are characteristic of young preachers. And one of those things I mentioned a while ago is the fact that young preachers, if they don't watch out, will get sucked into some strange new doctrine because there's something about a young preacher that makes him want to, gain a little prestige by discovering something the rest of the folks haven't discovered yet. And that's a normal thing. It happened to me when I was a young preacher, and it'll happen to you young preachers, and it's happened to every young preacher that's ever lived, I guess. But there are other things that cause us to change, or on which we change and about which we change with the passing of the years. One of those is our opinion about greatness. When I first began preaching, to me, greatness was one who was served by many. Now, after these over a third of a century of years of preaching, I now associate greatness with one who serves many. When I was a kid preacher, I used to associate greatness with one who accumulated much. And now, after these years, I associate greatness with those who give much. There was a day when I associated greatness with one who gave orders. And now I associate greatness with those who obey orders. I used to associate greatness with the served, now with the servant. And with the passing of the years, I think I see myself changing my adoration some and my admiration of great people. For example, I used to like to preach when I first began preaching on the greats in the Bible. I used to preach on Elijah. Man, to me, Elijah's always been a man's man. I can put up with most anything. There are three things I can't put up with in a male. One is, I cannot put up with a pretty boy. There's nothing in the world, me, any more disgusting than a man that thinks he's pretty. You know, the kind that looks at the mirror like that with his hair. And I do like that with mine. But I just don't like pretty boys. I just don't like a fellow who thinks he's pretty and always, you know, going by him like that. And they just don't appeal to me. And I can't put up with anybody that's lazy. A man that's lazy. I'd just soon share room with a skunk as somebody's lazy. And third thing, I can't stand a sissy. I don't like to be around them. I wouldn't even want to get in a fight with a gay because I don't want my flesh touching his. You know, I don't want my fist touching his jaw. I might take a stick and hit him, but I... you say, you don't have love. Oh, shut up. You're probably one of them. But I haven't got use for them at all. Unless they're on their knees at the altar, getting right with God like any other sinner. And, but I like male chauvinist pigs. That's why I like. You know why I like it? Because the ERA doesn't. What they hate, I like. And, now it'll get all over the country. Houses for male chauvinist pigs. Go ahead. But I like he men. I like Elijah. Man alive. I just say the word Elijah and feel better about it. And I just won't fight. You know, I like him. Boy, I used to like to preach on Elijah. Man alive. I like it when he prayed the fire down out of heaven. I liked it better when he cut the heads off those 800 preachers. Those pussyfooters. I didn't do it. Don't blame me. Blame Elijah. Better still, blame God. He told Elijah to do it. And, cause I've always wanted to get a liberal ministerial association and let them room with Mr. Gacy. But I know already I've cut several folks off, but you'll get mad anyhow. You must get mad in a hurry. Get it over with. I like what Joe Boyd used to have a dog. And dog had a big bushy tail. Joe Boyd lived down in Texas, and dog had a big bushy tail. And everybody came in and stepped on that dog's tail. I mean, just, you couldn't miss it because the folks thought it was the carpet in the living room. And you couldn't miss it. And the dog, no, this is true, Scout's Honor. The dog got to where when company came, he'd go to the door and put his tail across the door and get it over with, you know. And, of course, you know Joe Boyd, this is like Joe Boyd. The dog would lay down like this, you know, and stomach sticking up and his tail sticking out and the guy step on the tail. And Joe wrote Jesus Saves across the dog's stomach so he could testify to everybody that came in. But the reason Joe did that, he's a little timid to talk about Jesus, so he wanted to write his name on the stomach of a dog. Not sure that what the Lord had in mind when he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. But anyway, I like Elijah. Man alive. Something about him that just stirs me. The very name just sort of makes me flinch a bit. And I like a fellow that can stand before the prophets of Baal and say, boy, put up or shut up. I like the way when they built this altar and put the sacrifice on it and prayed for fire to come down, and no fire came. Elijah said, call it louder. He's probably hard of hearing. Said, your God's probably hard of hearing. Or he said, maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe he's tired. Maybe your God is taking a nap. Call a little louder. Now, that's satire, folks. Anybody told you never to use any satire didn't tell you right. The Bible's full of satire. Now, not toward good people. I mean, not mean satire toward good people, but there's nothing wrong with satirizing the devil and his crowd. And Elijah said, he's probably taking a nap. Call a little louder. And they said, oh, Baal, hear us. Hear us, Baal. Oh, Baal, hear us. And Elijah, no fire came. Elijah said, a little louder. Maybe he's hard of hearing. Or maybe he's taking a trip. And it says he's pursuing or being pursued. Maybe he's gone hunting or maybe he's being hunted. And now wait a while. And I like Elijah. I used to preach a great deal about Elijah. I think Elijah was a great man. Moses, I think the greatest man in the Bible. Moses led 3.5 million or so Jews 40 years. What a man. What a leader. Don't you recall how Moses went up to Mount Sinai and there he met God and God gave him the tablets of stone? The Bible says Moses met God face to face and spake to him as a friend. I like Moses. I used to enjoy preaching and exalting and almost deifying the Apostle Paul. What a guy. What a guy. Man, he little old bitty, short, bug-eyed Jewish fella that had a voice that was contemptible and the eyes were almost blind and little bitty fella and up and down the country starting churches and playing havoc with the devil's crowd and getting the job done for God. I used to have a sermon years ago I haven't preached it in 20 years, called Paulinian Practice. You hear a lot about Paulinian theology. I used to preach it at seminaries and I wanted to dig a professor or two. The Paulinian practice. Well, we teach this Paulinian theology. This is what Paul... Well, why don't you teach how Paul behaved while he's preaching all that theology? Getting in jail and getting his head beat and getting stoned to death and getting thrown out of the city and climbing over the city wall for his life. And don't preach much about... Teach much in our seminaries and colleges about Paulinian practice. I like it. How that as the persecutor of the Jews, he was knocked to the ground on the road to Damascus and there he saw a light that blinded him and the voice said, Saul, why persecutest thou me, and so forth. And he saw Jesus. And then, of course, when he was stoned outside the city of Lystra and was taken up into the third heaven and saw things unlawful to utter, I like him. I like Paul. Something about him that's great to me. I love to preach about him. I love to preach about John, the beloved John, the one who was the disciple that Jesus loved, the one who leaned on Jesus' breast. The one who went out on Patmos, was exiled to Patmos, and there on the Isle of Patmos, he saw all the glories of the prophetic future. He saw the church age. He saw the rapture of the church in John chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4. He saw the marriage of the Lamb and the judgment seat of Christ in chapter 4. And he saw the giving of rewards and so forth, and the claiming of the God's possession in Revelation chapter 5. He saw the great tribulation period, Revelation chapter 16 through 18. He saw the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage of the Lamb again in Revelation chapter 19. He saw the millennium, Revelation chapter 20. He saw the great white throne, Revelation chapter 20. He saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband in chapters 21 and 22 of Revelation. There's something marvelous about John. What a man, what a man, what a powerful man. I used to love to preach and still do some about Peter. God bless Peter. A little bit of loud mouth, but nevertheless, he got the job done. Preached on Pentecost and 3,000 people got saved. Went up on top of Mount Tabor with the James and John and Jesus, and there saw the transfiguration. He walked inside his own whole house, and his mother-in-law was healed, and he saw a dead child raised, and so forth. And Peter, the great preacher of Pentecost, and the great apostle, the one who's always mentioned first, always, Peter, Andrew, James, John, always that way. I used to love to preach about him. I have tried to wax as eloquent as a kid preacher could preach, or wax when I used to preach on Thomas. I'd say, boy, Thomas came in and he hadn't been there the Sunday before. By the way, you miss something every Sunday you're gone, you'll never get to reclaim again. Thomas was absent one Sunday and missed something he'll regret as long as heaven exists. He'll always regret it. That's why I don't believe in missing on Sunday. I don't believe in being out of town on Sunday. I don't think of believing weekend trips on Sunday. I think if you're going to take a trip, you ought to take it on Monday and Tuesday and take off work, not Sunday and take off God. Don't believe in it. Thomas was absent. He came back the next Sunday and they said, we saw Jesus. He came. And Thomas said, I won't believe it till I see and feel the scars in his hands and the scar in his side. Jesus came in the room, Thomas being present, and he said, Thomas, reach hither and feel my scars in my hand and my side. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And I used to wax eloquent. Boy, I'd brag on Thomas for saying, my Lord and my God. I like that. And I like Thomas. And I like the greats in the Bible. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. I think I'll not spend too much time eulogizing Elijah anymore. For I do not think Elijah deserves perhaps all the attention we give him. I do not see any great merit in Elijah believing God when Elijah actually saw fire come down from God out of heaven. If I looked up tonight and said, Lord, send fire, and all of a sudden some fire came down and consumed this pulpit, I don't think I'd have any hard time believing in God, do you? I don't think I'd have too much hard time believing in God if an angel came and fed me, or if ravens came and gave me food. I doubt if I should have too hard time believing in God. Why shouldn't Elijah believe in God? Why shouldn't he have great faith? He prayed and fire came from heaven. The birds came and gave him his sandwiches. The angels came and fed him heavenly food. Why shouldn't Elijah believe in God? I do not think it's any great shakes that Elijah would have great faith in God with that kind of revelation. Or Moses. I think I'll de-emphasize Moses a little bit. Who wouldn't believe in God? Good night. He saw that burning bush. Bush not consumed on the backside of the desert. And there he saw it burning but was not consumed. And he saw the Red Sea dried up, and that rod that he had was turned to a snake and turned back to a rod. And he used that rod and smote the Red Sea. 3.5 million Jews walked over on dry ground. He smote the rock in Horeb and water came out. Then he went up on Mount Sinai and there he saw God face to face. I do not think that, who wouldn't believe in God? Who wouldn't have great faith in God if they saw such things as that? Why, Moses heard the voice of God. He actually heard God's voice audibly speaking to him. He actually fellowshiped with God and saw the glory of God. Look, folks, even on Mount Sinai, and God dropped some stones that came from heaven written in God's own handwriting. No wonder Moses believed in God. I think he was a great man, but I think we've given him a little bit too much attention, because he had seen so much. Blessed are they which have seen and have believed. Blessed are you, Moses, you have seen and you have believed. More blessed are those which have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are you, Elijah, you have seen. You've seen the fire from heaven. You've seen the birds and angels come with manna from heaven and food from heaven. Blessed are you, Moses, you've seen manna drop every morning out of heaven for 40 years. Blessed are you, Moses. You've seen the quail come from heaven and feed the people of God for 1 month. Blessed are you, Moses. You've seen the tablets on which God wrote with his own handwriting, the Ten Commandments. But more blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. John the Beloved. God bless John. I think he's a great man. But I have a little hard time deifying John too much anymore. Why? Well, man, suppose God took you out here to some little island somewhere and showed you heaven. I don't think it'd be hard for me to believe there's a God if I actually saw the New Jerusalem. If God actually took me out somewhere and I saw angels and saw the tribulation period and saw the rapture and saw the resurrection and saw the great white throne and saw all that God has in the future, I don't think that maybe John deserves too great attention. I think he was a great man. The Bible says, blessed are they which have seen and have believed. And I think he is blessed. But don't think he's deserving of any extra special attention. Good night. Suppose tonight all of a sudden we heard a noise and looked up and there was heaven. Right there. There it was. We saw it. And there was Jesus. Look, folks, John saw Jesus. He heard Jesus speak to the waves and calm them. He heard Jesus speak to the storm and still it. He was with Jesus when he spoke to Elijah and Moses at the Transfiguration. He saw Jesus in his glorified body at the Transfiguration. John heard him preach the great sermon on the mount. He heard him say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. He heard Jesus preach that sermon. He heard Jesus talk to that woman at the wellside. He heard Jesus maybe talk to Nicodemus that midnight. He heard Jesus as he preached the great sermon on the living water. John saw Jesus as he raised the dead, as he healed the sick, as he cast out devils. He saw him on the cross. He heard him say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. John came with Peter and saw the empty tomb. He saw the place where he lay. He saw that Jesus, who was dead, is now alive. And he saw, not only that, John saw him in his resurrected body. He saw him in his glorified body. He saw him in that body, not earthly flesh. He saw him in his glorified, resurrected body. John saw him as he lifted up his hands and ascended back to God in heaven. He saw him go to heaven. He heard him say, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. But where I am, there ye may be also. John saw that. Now, I think John was a great man. But I think they're greater than John. The Bible said, blessed are they which have seen and yet have believed. But more blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. I think I could eulogize the Apostle Peter for a while, but not excessively. Peter himself walked with Jesus. He touched him. John said to his epistle, he said, our hands have held him. Our eyes have seen him. John saw Jesus. Peter saw Jesus. They heard his voice. They knew what he looked like. They knew how tall he was. They knew how much he weighed. They knew the color of his hair, knew the color of his eyes, the shape of his mouth, the contour of his hands. They knew the type, the erectness of his shoulders, and they saw him. Should we give them any added praise because they believed? Did they not hear him speak peace to the waves? Did they not hear him bless the little children? Did they not hear him pronounce a curse upon the Pharisees? Did they not see him as he cast the money changers out of the temple? Did they not see him perform his mighty miracles? Did they not see him change the water to wine in the marriage in Cana of Galilee? Did they not see him take the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed the 5,000? Of course they did. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. If I all of a sudden tonight, Jesus came and said, are you hungry? And we said, yes. And I said, what do you got? And I said, I got a pizza over there in the office and a Coke. I don't, but if I did, I go get that pizza and Coke, and Jesus would feed all of us pizza and Coke. I might quit believing in him. But I'm saying this. I mean, if I saw it, Peter saw that. Shall we give Peter eulogy? Shall we exalt him beyond measure?
When Jesus said, blessed are you, Thomas, and blessed are they which have seen and have believed. But more blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed.
You want to see the real great? May I parade before you tonight the real great Christians?
The more blessed ones. Those that have never seen a miracle. Those whose hands have never touched his face. Those whose ears have never heard him speak. Those whose eyes have never gazed upon his face. Those who've never seen a miracle performed by Jesus. Those who've never heard him preach. Those who know not what he looks like. More blessed.
If you want me to, for a few minutes, talk about those more blessed ones, I say, Peter, would you step aside for a moment, please? John, I'd like to put you on the outer edge for a few minutes. I have some great Christians, more blessed ones than you. Elijah, I'm going to turn the spotlight off of you for a few minutes. And Moses, if you'll step in the shadows for a while, I'd like to introduce you to some real great Christians. Come with me to a little farm, maybe in Iowa or Nebraska, or maybe in rural Indiana, or maybe in Arkansas or northern Texas. A little farm. I think I see it. About a 40-acre farm in Iowa. The farm is unattended tonight, right now, because Mom and Dad, who've reared their families, have gone to church. It's been that way through these years. Dad's back is a bit more stooped than it was a few years ago. And Mother's face is more wrinkled and her brow is more furrowed than it was a few years ago. For many Iowa moons have passed, come and gone, and many Iowa winters have come and gone as they've lived there in the little farmhouse and reared their own. They've lived in that one little house and tilled that little farm. And they've lived and eaten and slept and rested and worked and loved through the years. And now the family's grown. And they still live there on that little farm. For these years, they have gotten up in the morning early, before daybreak. And they've had an early breakfast, and the father's bowed his head and sincerely said, thank you, God, for this food and provide our needs again. He said, Lord, provide enough rain, but not too much. Provide enough sunshine, but not too much for our crops. He's gone out before daybreak and planted and chopped and nurtured his farm and then finally harvested. He's paid his tithes every Sunday to some little country church or little town church somewhere. Occasionally, he and his wife have the pastor over to eat on a Sunday, the pastor and his family over to eat on a Sunday at noon. He's given his money. He's been faithful. He's tried to tell as many folks as he could about Jesus in his own timid way. He's the salt of the earth. He prays for his president every day. He prays for his country every day. He's paid his income taxes on time, and he pays his bills, and the farm is all his now. At least he's not been behind on a single payment. He and his wife have reared three or four fine children. And those children, one's a doctor in New York, and one's a lawyer in California, and one perhaps is a preacher, student somewhere, maybe Howells Anderson College. And tonight they'll come home from church, and they'll thank God for Sunday, and there'll be the cleanest kind of feeling in the breast of that farmer and his wife. They've never seen a miracle, but they've been faithful to God through these many years. Their eyes have never gazed on the face of their lovely Lord, but they've always served him. They do not know what he looks like, what color is his hair, or what color his eyes, or what shape his body. They just know they love him. They've opened the Bible every day, and they've read from the pages of this book. They don't understand it. The word pre-tribulation rapture sort of confuses them a little bit. They don't know much about 2 Thessalonians 2 and what it means about the Antichrist, but they know the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. They don't know much about who the Antichrist is, but or he's going to be a Jew or a Gentile, but they know, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. They don't know all about the great doctrines, the doctrine of propitiation, or they don't know about hermeneutics or apologetics, but they do know. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that love him. They've never seen a miracle. They've never seen fire fall from heaven. But day after day and night after night, they've served their God and loved Him and reared their family. I say tonight, step aside, Elijah. There's one greater than you. These who've not seen the fire, these who've not seen the sandwich come in the claws of a raven, these who've not seen angels come and bring food, but those who year after year after year have loved this book and talked to the God of this book and believed this book and reared their children and done what was right and paid their debts. Blessed are you, Elijah, but more blessed are those which have not seen and yet have believed. You want to see some real greats tonight? Come with me for a few minutes to Hammond Baptist High School. School is starting. It's Monday morning. There sits behind the desk of a classroom a man. He probably has a new sport coat on that he bought recently. He's sitting behind the desk there in the high school. He's trying to teach those young people the things about God. He's trying to impart to them what he knows. He's never seen the tablets of stone come down from Mount Sinai. He's never talked to God face to face as a friend. He just said goodbye to a little girl 5 or 6 years of age a while ago. She's in school or at home maybe, and she has leukemia. He does not know how it's going to be with her. He wonders what the future holds. He prays and asks God to bless and give her a normal lifespan. He's watched her hair fall out of her scalp because of leukemia and watched it grow back in again. And he and his wife are trying to serve God as best they can. He's superintendent of a department of one of the retarded departments here at First Baptist Church Sunday School. And he and his wife love God. They've never seen Jesus face to face. They've never seen 5,000 people fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They've never seen the waves of Galilee stopped and the storms of Mideast hushed. They've never seen fire come from heaven. They've never seen tablets of stone come from God. They've never heard the voice of God speak. But day after day, they've loved Him and believed Him and read His book and prayed to Him and served Him. Step aside, Moses. Blessed are you. You saw and believed. But more blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. You want to see the real greats? I point you not to John. I point you not to Peter. I point you not to Thomas. I'm glad that John was the one that leaned on Jesus' breast. I'm glad that Peter was the one who said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I'm glad that Thomas eloquently said, "My Lord and my God." I'm glad about that. If you want to see the real greats, come with me to Grass Lake, Michigan tonight. In a church there in Grass Lake, Michigan, a young man is preaching. Maybe he's finished now because they're an hour later than we. This morning he stood to preach. He's a middle-aged man now. Used to be a deacon here in this church. I will recall how God gave him and his wife a little baby. And soon the baby died. We rolled the baby, the casket out to baby land and placed beneath the sod flesh of their flesh and bone of their bone. And wiping a tear and trying to mend a broken heart, they went back home again to pray for another baby. And God did give another baby. And soon that baby was taken in death. And the second time they rolled out to baby land and placed that little baby beside the first in the sod. They wiped the tears in their eyes and tried to mend again a heart that was broken the second time. Went back home to still be faithful in service for God. God gave them a third little baby. I recall one Sunday morning I looked up in the balcony and they had the little baby with them. And I noticed the baby didn't look normal and I got worried about the baby. And soon, a baby a year old or so, they took him to the doctor. And the doctor said the baby is retarded. He'll never be normal. And it wasn't long till the news came. The third baby was taken. I went up here to the Huber Funeral Home and back in a little back room there we assembled one day and for the third time they saw a little baby in a casket about that long. We went out here to baby land and laid that little baby's body to rest beneath the sod and now 3 babies out there tonight. And yet this morning that man stood up with his open Bible and proclaimed the message of Christ. And tonight again he did it. And for these years he's been faithful to God with what gifts God has given him. He's never touched the face of Jesus. He's never seen a miracle performed. He's never seen the waves still, nor the storm calm. He's never seen 5,000 fed with a little boy's lunch basket. He's never seen an empty tomb. He's never seen a Christ on the cross. He's never heard his voice say, "Peace, be still." And yet in spite of it, with faith in God Almighty, he's kept on going, and so has his wife.
I say, blessed. Jesus said, blessed are you, Thomas. You have seen and have believed. But more blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
If you want to see a great Christian, step aside, Thomas. The spotlight is not on you. Step aside, Peter. Someone more important than you, more blessed than you, stepping up. I take you out here. It's Monday morning. It's early Monday morning. Many inches of snow have fallen through the night. The weather, the temperature has plummeted below zero. And a man gets up. He's been doing it for 18, 20, 25 years now. Gets up and gets his car started. Finally gets it off. Gets it maybe in a carpool with some other fellows and goes out here to Inland Steel or Youngstown Steel or one of these steel mills. And there he works in those blast furnaces. His fingernails are almost impossible to clean. His hands are soiled with the toil of many years and calluses dot his hands. His shoulders are not as straight as they were 15 years ago. His brow is more furrowed. His face is more wrinkled. His hands are more palsied. His feet are more insecure. He comes home, deposits his check. After working out there all these many years, then takes his checkbook and writes a check to Hammond Baptist High School or Hammond Baptist Grade School or Hiles Anderson College, paying for your tuition with his own sweat, with his own blood. On Sunday morning, he gets up and comes to church, maybe teaches the little boy's Sunday school class. Maybe he's an usher. Maybe he sings in the choir. He's tired tonight, and he could have had all day to sleep today if it had been one of the worldly crowd. But he came to church. He may have had a little hard time staying awake because the preacher may not have been quite as loud and bombastic as he was other times. But he loves God. He bows his head every night and prays for his preacher. The preacher's on the road. He prays for him, and he says, "Oh, God, bring him back safely to us." He believes the Bible. He takes one night a week and goes out soul winning, or a day a week and goes out trying to build a bus route. He's never seen a miracle. He's never heard the voice of Jesus. He's never seen Jesus walk on the sandy shores of Galilee. He's never seen Jesus baptized of John in the Jordan River. He's never heard the voice out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." He's never seen a miracle. He's never heard the voice of Christ. He's never seen Jesus. And yet, day after day and week after week, with faith in this book, he rears his family and prays for his children and tries to do that which is right and serves God. That's the one Jesus said is the more blessed one. You want to see a more blessed one? Come to, if you would please, to an apartment. It's Saturday morning. A little mother has the only day off she has all week long. She works all week. By the way, she has no husband there. He's dead. Or maybe he forsook her, ran off with somebody else, or maybe just divorced her for no cause at all. And she's trying to be a mother and a father. She's worked all week to make money to pay the bills, and now the only day she has to clean the house and to play with the children and to teach the children and to wax the floor and to clean the garage and to clean the basement and to polish the furniture and dust the house and get the dishes all cleaned and get the washing done and get the ironing done. At the same time, trying to be a mother and a dad. And yet, she takes time at night to take the children and get them in a little circle, and she takes the Bible and reads it to them. She says, "Now before we go to bed, let's pray for Brother Hiles. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for the teacher at school and pray for the principal." She has no one to come home at night. She has no one to take care of making the living for. She makes the living herself. Monday morning, she says goodbye to the children before the bus comes to get them, or they go to the bus and goes off to work somewhere. She's never seen a miracle. She's never seen 5,000 fed. She's never seen a transfiguration. She's never seen a dead person raised. She's never seen a lame person leap like a hart. She's never seen a sick person get well at the hands of Jesus. She's never seen a tablet of stone come from God. She's never seen him like a friend. She's never heard his voice. And yet she believes this book, and she does the best she can to serve her God. That's the one our Lord said is the more blessed one.
Step aside, Thomas. A great one's coming. Step aside, John. One of the great ones on his way. Step aside, Peter. Step aside, Elijah. Step aside, Moses.
Want to see the real greats? You come to a college dormitory, Hiles Anderson College. Little girl sits out there. She barely has enough to pay her tuition. She hasn't had a dime to spend for herself since school started. She's lonely. She's homesick. Everything is new to her. She's never seen snow before, and she's not seen anything but snow since she came to college. She could, if she wanted to. She could go down here to Chicago and spend 10 minutes on a street corner and make $1,000. She could sell her body, sell her decency, sell her character, get a cigarette in her hand, a miniskirt on her, or a pair of slacks on her, and paint her face up like a harlot. And she could go down here and get a job somewhere, let some wicked man flirt with her, and he'd give her a job maybe, and put her in the silk and satin and put her in a Cadillac car. She could! But no! 10,000 times, no! She's a Christian. She loves God. She's given herself to Christ. And she lives out there in a telephone booth with somebody else as her booth mate. When the preacher comes to chapel, she stands and applauds him. He comes out to visit. She'll look out the dormitory window and try to wave at him. She gets a quarter ahead. She'll go down to the peddler's way and buy a Reese peanut butter cup and slide it under the preacher's door on Sunday morning along with a little note of affection. She's never heard Jesus speak. She's never seen the shores of Galilee. She's never seen the lad of Nazareth. She's never seen Jesus baptized in Jordan. She's never heard his voice. She's never heard him sing. She's never heard him teach. She's never felt his hands on her feet as he washed her feet. She's never heard him say, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." But she keeps on, and she keeps on, and she keeps on, and she keeps on. Step aside, Elijah, John the Baptist. Step out of the spotlight. A young college girl. Jesus said he's more blessed than you. You want to see one of the more blessed ones? Go tonight to a little Japanese cottage. Many thousands of miles from here. And sitting there about right now in that cottage, no doubt, a young couple with a baby or two are saying, "It's 8:18 back in Hammond. I guess Brother Hiles is preaching now." And they bow their head and say, "Let's pray for him." And across the miles, I feel their prayers, and up to heaven, God hears their prayers. That young couple that sat in these pews and grew up in this church one day felt the call of God to go to a distant land. And one day they said goodbye to mother and to grandmother and to friends and loved ones and school and church and country and went to a land they knew not where to live. They knew not where to do. They knew not exactly what. And there they serve God tonight in a distant land, homesick and lonely. Why did they do it? Why? Because one day they came in contact with the living Christ. They've not seen him. They've not heard him. They've not seen him perform a miracle. But they came in contact. He changed their lives. And there they serve on distant fields tonight. More blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. You want to see the great ones? Sitting back here on this side of the auditorium tonight, there's a man in his 80s. He looks like he's 55 or 60. His name is O.K. Jackson. O.K. Jackson and his dear wife served with the child evangelism work in this hell for all these many, many, many years. How long, I don't know. But they were serving when I came to Hammond almost 20 years ago. I wonder how many little children have received Christ because of this good man, his dear wife. I wonder how many people have been encouraged and little children have gotten somebody to love them and have heard the words, "I love you," for the first time because this good man, his wife, have labored through these years in this area in the child evangelism work. I wonder how many little children who would never have heard the word Jesus unless, or the term Jesus saves, had it not been for this good man and his dear wife. And just a few years ago, his wife was taken. I think I've not seen two lonelier men without their wives than R.G. Lee and O.K. Jackson. And yet he still goes about it. at the age where most people are in rest homes, most people retired for life and giving it to somebody that's younger. Okay, Jackson decided not to give it over to a younger man, decided to become a younger man. He did! And he keeps on going! He's never heard seen a miracle! He's never heard the voice of Jesus! He's never heard him preach a sermon! He's never seen an empty tomb! He's never seen the old rugged cross! He's never seen the manger at Bethlehem! He's never heard the angels sing the coming of the Christ child! He's never heard the voice of Christ preach a sermon! He's never heard him teach the Bible. He's never seen the Ascension. He's never seen a miracle. He's never seen the Mount Sinai. He's never heard the voice of God thunder through the heavens. He never has. But he keeps on serving his God. More blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. You want to see great ones? Look back here to these deaf folks tonight. I've never heard anybody say, I love you. Never heard the organist play a solo or the pianist, organist play an offertory. Never heard a voice of the preacher when he preaches. Never heard the reading of the scripture, Brother John. They live in a world of silence. And yet they come and they pray and they serve. Oh, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm somewhat glad I never saw his face. I will someday. I see it every morning when I get up. I wonder what you look like, Jesus. I wish you'd come today. I've never seen his face. I will. Forgive me for saying it. I'm glad I never have. I'm glad I never have. Why? Because had I seen his face, I'd just be one of the blessed ones. But to live in 1979, I can be one of the more blessed ones. For 33 years, I've been preaching about him. I've talked about him on the street corners. I've told people about him on airplanes. I've sat at O'Hara Field and talked to thousands about him. I've passed out tracts on trains. I've gone into barber shops and told folks about him. I've gone up and down the street in shopping centers across this land and told people about Jesus. Jesus, oh, how sweet the name Jesus. Every day the same Jesus. Let all saints proclaim his worthy praise forever. But I've never heard his voice. I've never seen his face. His hands have never washed my feet. My hands have never touched his. I've never leaned on his breast. I've never heard him preach a sermon. But for 33 years, I've been doing my best to serve him whom I've not seen. I'm glad I live in 1979. I've never heard his voice. Believe me, I'll hear it someday. I'm glad I never heard it yet. Because today, if I'm willing to pay the price, I could be one of the more blessed ones. You want to see a great or blessed one? You come to a little parsonage tonight. It's out in the country somewhere. A faithful pastor and his family just got back from church. They don't have a great congregation like this, or not as many folks live in their town as sit in this room tonight. In fact, the four or five towns around them couldn't get as many folks together as we have in this room tonight. He doesn't know much about homiletics. He doesn't have a degree from a college or seminary. To him, a Greek is somebody that runs a restaurant. He knows nothing about it. He knows nothing about Hebrew. Hermeneutics, that's the fellow that lives down the street. First name Herman, last name Neutics. He doesn't know. Paulinian theology, he thinks that Pauline, some teacher, taught theology in the school somewhere. He doesn't understand that. To him, apologetics is learning how to apologize. He doesn't understand that. To him, phonetics, he thinks that's fanatics. He doesn't understand. Just a simple country preacher. God called him one day. He's doing the best he can. He doesn't know all the methods Brother Hiles knows and doesn't know all the methods. He comes to pastor school and sits out there and worships while worships this church and almost worships this preacher during pastor school, maybe. He's had a tough day. He got an anonymous letter this afternoon, yesterday afternoon. He's tried to get his mind off of it today while he preached, but he couldn't. Somebody in the church is trying to get rid of him. He wants to have a good spirit, but somebody's trying to take away his salary and his livelihood and fire him from the church. He's discouraged. He's homesick. He's lonely. The road is rough. He has no pastor to go to and seek counsel from. But this morning he walked in the pulpit the best he could. He preached what he thought God told him to say. And tonight again, a faithful servant, he did the best he could. He may have used bad English. He may have said, I seen and I have saw and I did and I done and I have did. He may have split his infinitives and dangled his participles and hung his gerunds. I'm not sure. But he loves God. Tonight he'll bow on his knees after he goes to bed and say, God, give me strength for the week and thank you that you made me a preacher. He's never seen a miracle. He's never heard the voice of Christ. Step aside, Elijah. I think you're great. But here's one that did not see the fire fall on Carmel's mount. Step aside, Elijah. I think you're great. But here's one that never saw the ravens come with sandwiches from God's kitchen. Step aside, Elijah. I think you're great. But here's one that never saw angels come with cakes from heaven's bakery. Step aside, John. For here's one that never leaned on Jesus' breast. Step aside, John. For here's one that never heard his voice say, peace be still. Step aside, John. Here's one that was not there when Jesus was transfigured. Step aside, John. Here's one that's not talked to Moses and Elijah on Carmel's mountain. Step aside, John. Here's one that's not seen the empty tomb. Step aside, John. Step aside, Paul. Here's one that's not seen the Damascus Road appearance of Christ. Step aside, Paul. Here's one that's not seen the third heaven and all the glories of heaven. Step aside. Step aside, Stephen. Here's one that's not seen Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Step aside. Step aside there, Thomas. Here's one that's not seen his scars and not felt the scar in his side, nor heard him speak the words, reach hither and touch my hand and my side. Step aside, Philip. Step aside, Bartholomew. Here's one that's never seen a storm calmed and never seen the Galilee raging and all of a sudden Jesus make it as peaceful as a morning, calm morning. Step aside. Here's one. He believes the Bible just like you did. He preaches just like you preached. He prays just like you prayed, but he's never seen. Blessed are you. More blessed is him. Oh, listen. If I were you tonight and I had a little Sunday school class, I'd give it all I've got. Because you live in the age when you can be a more blessed one. If I were pastor of a church, and I am, I want to give it all I've got. Because this is the age where I can be a more blessed one. I mean it when I say this. I'd rather live tonight than to have lived when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee. Why? Because this is the day where we can show real faith and do real great works and powerful works in the energy and power of the unseen but working Holy Spirit of God. Let's give our best. Let's give our best. The Lord Jesus says we can be one of the more blessed ones. I could go on and on and on. I'll not belabor the point, but I could go on and on. I could talk about these dear aged women who sit down here tonight who wonder if they'll be able to hear the alarm that goes off tomorrow morning, and yet they believe. I could talk about some of you men tonight that sit here and don't know how you're going to buy food for your family next week, and yet you believe. I could talk about some of these ladies tonight that are going to go home to an empty cupboard, wish they could give their children just a bite to eat before they go to bed, and wonder if there's enough flour there to mix with water to have a little gravy for breakfast tomorrow morning. They're more blessed ones. Or I could tell about that little lady who'll go home tonight, who's sitting in this room right now, who'll go home tonight when she gets home, her husband will meet her at the door. He'll take a stick and beat her across the back till her back is bleeding and bloody! Her gown will stick to her bloody back tonight, and she'll put it off tomorrow morning and pull off the scab with the gown. And yet she keeps on. And yet she keeps on. And yet she keeps on. Step aside, Peter. You've never known faith like that. Step aside, John. You've never been through anything like that. I could tell you about those faithful Hiles Anderson College professors who will stand up tomorrow morning in class and teach. And their paycheck will come on the 1st and 15th. It'll be a half or a third or a fourth what it could be if they took the opportunities that they have to teach in secular schools. But they live on welfare salaries and make little enough to be the recipients of food stamps if they so chose. I'll tell you one thing. If I ever hear of a Hiles Anderson College student, listen carefully, students. If I ever hear of a Hiles Anderson College student who thinks he's more spiritual than one of those faculty members, I'll see to it he doesn't land that he's off our campus. Don't you ever let me hear some little pipsqueak talk about he's got something our faculty doesn't have. He will have something. He'll have a bruised spot on his bottom. Yeah. Yeah. More blessed. More blessed. It'll not be long, folks. It'll be over for all of us. Blessed are you, Thomas. Blessed are those which have seen and have believed. More blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. What a day to live.